think we went there once. Came back, and they just, see you later. And just left me. And so I didn't know what to do. So I got on a trip. He's like, hey, man, what do I think of that? He's a lot of help when you need it. Let me just say that way. You know, when you got to do a baptism, things like that, you know, he didn't teach me how to do it. Then everybody makes fun of me because I almost killed a guy. He was my teacher, just let you know. I'm just glad you lived through that. Was it last weekend?
Yeah.
Are you in counseling right now, or? Anyway, Brother Sean, his daughter has his number. I can give it to you. He'll help you work through the trauma. So, anybody else got a question on trauma or whatever? Anyway, so I just got dropped off, and that was it for me. And so that will happen to you sometimes. Now, hopefully, the churches that are representative here in this school and in this work, hopefully they're not that way, but it's happened to me a couple times. Now, maybe it was me. I did try to shower, but, you just never know. I had a little lady at the same church. So what do you preachers always tell us about the bad things we do? So I've waited a long time for somebody to ask me that. And nobody has. Does anybody want to ask me? I'm loaded, man. I've had that some loaded for a long time. So, point is, sometimes you don't get treated nice. Sometimes, and it's not even that it's bad. It's just maybe they never got taught how to treat you. And don't let it get to you. Just, you're there to do a job. Just do your job. And when you have an opportunity to educate and to teach, maybe a church you pastor, you teach them to be better than that. And so, anybody else? Comment, question, outline? Yes.
So I know you've talked about this before. Do you outline things every for a funeral, for like a graveside, prayers, non-graveside?
I actually thought of that question. Okay, so that thing is buried in here. So my outline would be exactly the same for a graveside, but I would fold it. I'd take, a computer-sized paper. It would probably be close to this size. And I would, and Brother Craxy is the one that showed me this. And so I would have the entire thing on, because you can still get another page in here too. So maybe you try to fold it. But I would do the same thing, maybe put all the stuff, the obituary part. That's the stuff you're going to read. And then maybe on the back, however you want it, you're going to do the message part. And I would do it, and it will fit on this. And that way you can hold it. Because you got to hold your Bible. So gravesides are a little problematic. And this is what you need to think about. Number one, you're out in the weather. Whether it's a sunny day or a cold day, you're in the weather. And so you got to think about this. Everybody's standing almost. And so it's a warm day. Maybe it's not super hot, but it's a warm day and everybody's standing. What do ladies generally wear? Not all the time. Let's say generally at a funeral.
Dress shoes.
They make some type of a dress. They have some dress shoes on. Now what are they doing?
Something thinking.
What are they doing? They're standing. They're getting uncomfortable. Okay. Maybe what guys are wearing a suit jacket. The sun's beating down on you. 70 degrees, you're getting uncomfortable. Maybe it starts raining. Maybe it doesn't take a lot of breeze to move your Bible and the pages and things like that. So you gotta find a technique, and your changes from every time how to hang on to everything and just scoot it up. And that's just something you have to figure out a little bit on your own. But it will all fit if you fold that page a couple different ways. It will all fit within there. And if it doesn't, just. Take some stuff out. This is where knowing your outline can be very helpful, because you will have a couple points. Okay, I know I need to go to this thing, and this thing. And whatever that outline might be. But I don't know, does that fully answer you?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I do the same thing for teaching. when I'm at camp, I'll do the same thing. It's just, I might put it in a, you know, in a binder or something like that. But it's, the outline is the same for me. Now, Brother Dale's not, because he has to put in all the little games and reward for you, and we get to draw the lucky cookie, and, you know, so Brother Dale does it a little differently. But,
Depends where you're on.
Brooke says that. That's perfect. Yes.
So when you're doing a lesson versus a message, do you typically take your message and turn it into a lesson, or do you, or they?
If I write it, it's wrote from the perspective that it's going to be a message, or it's going to be an out, or just a lesson. Yeah. It doesn't change for me. It doesn't change. It's the same thing. It may not be, you know. That's why, literally, I guess I can have a. I got some old 6-page messages that I used to preach. And I can just pull one of them out, and that can be Sunday morning, you know, if it's on salvation or something. I try to generally do that, or it's going to be on something else. And they can get separated, but it doesn't change for me. Whatever your outline, and I would really recommend that, however you do your outline, whatever is your thing, it needs to be clear so you can read it and see it, whether it's studying or you're preaching from it. It needs to be a useful tool for you. And it should be the same, I think, no matter what you're doing, whether it's lesson or message. It shouldn't really change. Maybe not as long, but I think it should be the same.
But do you typically, when you know you're going to do a lesson, write a separate outline than the message, or just use the message?
No, I'll just literally, so some of these things, so you can't see all these I got up here. I'll just pull out this one. It's in here somewhere, but I don't want to take all the time to find it. So this is a topic I preach on a lot. And did you do this whole one or only parts of it?
It's on there.
It's on there?
Yeah.
Did you do both sides? Front back, do you remember?
Yeah.
Okay, so this one is on a lot of pages. And this is a topic I think you'll preach on a lot, forgiveness. It's one of the biggest hindrances in the Lord's work. And in people's lives, forgiveness. And so this is the lesson, and I can literally take that and make that that's my message too. Nothing has changed other than I pulled it out right here. Maybe as a message, I'm not doing all of this, you know, tonight, but maybe I'm going to break it up. Maybe I'm breaking up for a couple of days, or maybe I'm looking through, you know, I'm going to hit this first page. And then hit the next page, you know, next week or whatever. And I have preached, kind of doing it right now. I have a goal that I want to get to teaching the church on a topic. And each lesson is kind of building up to that. And so we're just, now I could easily, I think probably most of it is off of a big lesson. But I'm just doing pieces of it. And so, to me, it doesn't change. Now, I don't know, maybe Brother Crabtree does it differently, but it just doesn't change for me. So, I don't know, Brother Crabtree, does it change to you? Don't say, oh, they're up there keeping the track. No, if you're writing a message, do you write it as a lesson, or do you write it as a message?
Well, sorry,
yeah. And I think most of us are. And, you know, so it's just, it doesn't matter. Anybody else? Real quick?
Brilliant.
Yes. Yes.
Something that I, going back kind of the beginning of the class, something that I have a problem with is I've got the issue with saying, and stalling and that kind of thing. And especially since the accident, it's difficult for me to get things out without doing that. But something that I've found helps me when I'm trying to come up with like a devotional is that I'll have a clear, concise point that I put on there, and then the verse. And so you get that point out that you're making, and then you let the scripture be the meat and potatoes of what there is, but then you're just making another point. And by adhering to that, it helps to get me through the stalling that I'm so prone to do.
So I didn't have, I was going to have Brother Josh read this because I had to read it last few times there in Jeremiah. I'm adding the sense. When you're working on stuff and you're putting it all together, and that's what it is. You're trying to find the next thought that you're bringing out. Who does the teaching? The Holy Spirit. Okay. But what's your job?
The mouth.
You're to communicate. You're to give the sense. You're to help guide. But the Holy Spirit does the teaching. You're to put up and shut up. And if you keep that in mind, your job's not to fix people. You put up, shut up, sit down. And if you have that mindset, so you don't have to hit every page you got, you don't have to hit everything you have written out that, man, I've worked on this so long, I got to put it forth through there. Don't worry about it. If you're jealous because you're not getting, at the youth rally, you haven't got elected preach and you're all jealous and heard about that. Now you're a hindrance to the Spirit.
Yeah.
And you're hindering the Spirit of God. And you think God's going to use you if that's your mindset? I don't think so. The lesson, what we're going to hit on is the attitude and then making a teacher. And so we'll hit that next time. But sometimes our attitude is what needs to change. Mm-hmm. And so I encourage you to read this book. It's not a hard read. There's some really good stuff in here. There's breaking down about different techniques of outlines. And as you're reading through there, I don't want you mentally to be stuck in one of those. But as you read through there, you're like, I lean this way. And we all have a style that we like. And I'm no different. There's a certain style I like. I like asking questions. I like participation. I will sometimes try to bring it out. And maybe now you can't do this to everybody. Okay. Maybe it's a little bit of teasing. But you can't do that to everybody. And nor should you, if that's not part of you, you can't really fake that. And sometimes, people don't like it and they'll let you know they're uncomfortable with that. You'll think about, I never want to embarrass. Now, I may embarrass somebody, but I don't intentionally want them to feel bad being embarrassed. Okay. Like, I hope I didn't. I know I embarrassed you, but I hope I didn't make you feel bad because there is a good point in that. But, as soon as I started that, I was like, maybe I'm embarrassing you in a bad way that way. And that I don't want to ever do that. So, how much time, Brother Bo, are you giving me?
Whatever you want.
All right. Anybody get their homework done?
Yeah.
Okay. Who wants to do it?
I'll do it.
Okay.
What? It was about saints. Who are the saints? That was one of the questions.
That was one of them.
One of the questions was, how does God receive glory? So, anyways, going through, I tacked this on with the same lesson of church perpetuity. So, after I went through the church in Antioch, getting started, then, I went to 1 Corinthians 1, 1 and 2, and that church in Antioch started the church of Corinth. And then that verse says, under the church of God, which is at Corinth, Paul can be saints. And so, broke down who saints are. Okay, so you see there's a church, at God there in Corinth, they're called to be saints. And then I went to the Old Testament. And looked at the tabernacle in particular the altar of incense and what it represented, and it's a prayer, and who's offering prayer there. And then I went through it's the same thing. It was how does God receive glory? And I went to, the can't answer verses that we always go through is Ephesians 3:21, they're fifth verses, Romans 16:27, and use the tabernacle to
train. And what did Romans 16:27 say?
To God only wise, be glory for, I'm not book right now, but.
Sorry, you're on the right track.
God only wise.
Okay.
Be glory and is by Jesus Christ, or through Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Right. And Does anybody else got anything to add to or chat? So how does God receive glory? That verse makes it very clear. Only through Jesus Christ. Now, there's a few others in there that will help with that. Now, my next thing I jotted down here, this was part of that homework, and I just, again, I'm looking to see that you kind of have a mindset of where you want to go and could probably, you know, work it through and help teach somebody that may be struggling with that. If you don't get how God receives glory, you are going to be in trouble, because that is one of the most misconceived, misunderstood things that brethren don't get. Now, what's it matter? Because there are things in the Bible that get taught that, you know, sometimes the teacher, this doesn't really matter. It's not a doctrinal thing. Well, this is. And why does it matter?
You can't hear God glory. You don't know what it is. So what are we doing?
Okay. It affects our reward. It affects our prayer life. It affects where you're going to worship and how we are to worship. And most people think worship is walking in the door and sitting down, and the song leader tells you to turn to page 395. Well, go read Psalms 95, because that's not glory. Giving God glory, part of that is bowing down and worshiping. And that is not always the case when we are in that sanctuary, that we're in a position to pray. And if I don't understand the consequences of prayer, how prayers to be, how we're to approach God, you know, I go back to the tabernacle, I look at those high priests, I look at him, how he was to approach God, and when he had to go before the altar of incense, oh, the altar of incense, I guess I better learn something about that, because that represents something too. And so pretty soon I got all these connections, and they all matter.
Yeah.
And there's no rewards, as Sister Rhonda just brought out, because you can't, God does not, I think it's John 5:41. God does not receive honor from men. You and me aren't bringing God any honor, any glory. There's only one way that it's acceptable.
Well, and with that, if you don't understand that glory of previous Christ in the New Testament church, then universal church is really easy to get to. And then beyond that, church doesn't really matter, because as long as you're saved, you can get God honor and glory.
And that's where forsaking assembly, and literally, you know, like I think I said this last time, you can kind of answer all, most of these, as Brother Alex kind of did. Now, he didn't go in great depth. There's more to it. And granted, and you know, for you, when you got a couple minutes, I just want to know that you got a working track that you're working down to be able to teach that and share that. And so that's the only thing that we're working on. So for next homework, this is what I got. Does anybody got a quick question on that? Okay, so this is your next homework. Now, all these things I'm giving you are things I dealt with, and I had to deal with this. And this guy has called me a few times, and it's an unknown number. So nobody in this day and age on a cell phone has an unknown number. And this guy called me, and I've answered him a couple times, and he's asked these weird questions, and I'm fine with weird questions, but they're all trying to be gotcha questions. And so this one, is there salvation without Christ?
No.
Who says no? Is no the correct answer?
Everybody ought to say no.
You have to prove it.
Now you got to prove it.
Amen.
And now it's a different story. And he used John, the book of John. And he came, the way he started is that Jesus is not God. Oh. And so I did this like you did, no, and gave him a couple other verses, but you know, he was all prepared. I just got this phone call, you know, 30 seconds ago. So I took and, you know, of course you're feeling dumb because you know that's not correct, but you also, you know, didn't have however long he's been working on this. And So I spent a few minutes and I put, which I got in here, I put a little lesson together answering that very question. I called him back and just now he won't answer me. So your homework is prove using the book of John that there's salvation. That one, I guess you got to prove using John that Jesus can save you and why he can. But the question he put to me was, is there salvation without Christ? And his premise was, Jesus is not God, and only God can save. So there are people that walk among us that have these kind of things that you're going to deal with one day. And so that's your homework. I thought I had one more here.
Why don't you write a phone number down and you let me call?
Unknown. You know, he's doing that. And the only reason I was able to get it back is I just hit redial. And then, of course, he knows my number. And I thought somebody, you know, had a legit question about what we believed. And he starts talking about the website. You know, I got a question. And, you know, so you got to answer, though. Well, that's your homework. All right. Anybody got a question on that? All right. Thank you, Brother Bo.